office. And I do have a clean office today. I spent...
So who did that for you?
I did it, man.
Who did you pay to come and clean your office?
I didn't pay nobody. I cleaned it out myself. It still is a mess. I mean, I still get... I still got some computer work to do.
Cool.
So, yeah, have a seat. So who are you, first of all, and why are you here in my office?
That's a good question. So I'm Dr. Neil.
Look at me. Forget the camera.
Forget this thing?
Yeah.
And I'm hanging around campus for a couple of weeks, looking at content for PDC.
Now, are you a medical doctor? Or
a... I'm not, no. I have a PhD in software architectures for real-time systems.
Ooh, scary.
I did a lot of software in real-time systems in the end of the 80s, beginning of the 90s. And that's where I started, I guess, getting serious with software.
Okay. When you say real-time system, what kind of thing?
Everything from vehicle tracking through to stock market prices. Just quite a range of different real-time systems that I worked on. And actually, I then saw repeating patterns in those real-time systems.
Okay.
And, started talking to a professor about it, and he said, wow, no one's ever documented that before. So I was like, oh, cool, I better write that down. And it turned into a PhD thesis.
Cool.
So, as these things tend to do.
Yeah.
You start off thinking, I started off looking for documentation on repeating patterns in real-time systems, couldn't find any, which is why I ended up asking some professors about it. And then turned out no one had done it yet. So, yeah.
Cool.
One of those things. Of course, now when you look at it, it's kind of everyone's done it a million times, and that kind of software architecture is built into every kind of system you can think of. Everyone wants data now. It's so just getting that is
very cool. Well, I invite you over here because I keep running into you on campus.
Right, you keep meeting me in different buildings.
I've met you on the virtual Earth team, and I met you on the tablet team.
Right.
I'm going, okay, what are you doing here? You're doing something fun.
Yeah, I'm having a lot of fun. So I created a website called Via Virtual Earth, which is viavirtualearth.com,
okay,
which is all about... showing developers how to build software on top of the Virtual Earth platform. I mean, it's not really a platform. It's really a web product that the MapPoint team has built for MSN. And that web product has hooks in it that you can hook into, but they're not documented, so I'm documenting them and showing people how to do it and driving a little community that's starting to build up around Virtual Earth, which is really quite fun. We're starting to see people building applications on top of Virtual Earth that are fun, doing cool things.
Yeah, we're going to have the video up at the same time.
Right, so you did a video of the Virtual Earth guys that we had, some guys that had been hacking Virtual Earth solutions, and there's another video with all that stuff on it that you did when you came and met me that last time.
Yep.
Look out for that.
So what are you doing with the tablet, since we're going to cover that stuff in a video?
Right. What am I doing with the tablet team? So with the tablet team, I've been...
You have a tablet here.
Yeah, I've got
What kind of tablet is that?
This is a Sahara, sometimes called an iTablet. And you can see my whole messenger list. Whoa, yes.
If you can read it in 320 by 240.
Yeah, yeah, good luck, guys.
We're not using HDEF yet.
Right. And, it's fully connected.
So this is made by Sahara?
So it's actually made by a company called Tablet Kiosk.
Okay.
And they're sold over here in the US, and I've just been trying to broker a deal to get a distributor in Australia to market these as well now. So these are now available in Australia as well, which is cool.
Is that where you live?
So, some of the time, yeah. So people ask me where I live, I often say I live on a 747, but so I spend about half of my year in Sydney, or just outside Sydney, hanging out on the beach, and then the other half flying between Europe and North America playing with software.
Awesome.
Yeah, I play with software when I'm in Sydney too, actually, but I have a little
less... You got
less
Wi-Fi on the beach?
Pretty close.
Pretty close, yeah.
Have a little less of a hectic life when I'm over there, and then half the year I'm kind of pretty full-on running between companies and helping them get stuff done. So what I'm doing with the tablet guys is I've been looking at different ways to enable application developers to mobilize their applications.
Yep.
You know, it's a big issue right now that, you know, when you build a piece of software, and this is the classic, you know, OneNote for tablet PC, but when you build a piece of software for a mobile PC, and I'm not just talking tablets here, but when you build a piece of software for a laptop or a notebook, you need to consider it's going to run on battery some of the time. And to give the user the best experience, you want to scale down some of the functionality to limit the hit on the battery. You know, you want to give them maximum battery you can. You don't want to be constantly polling the web for updates and all kinds of things like that, which is going to hit the battery.
Right.
So I'm talking, I've actually just had a couple of white papers go up on the MSDN site, one on network location awareness and the other one on power management, and there's more coming on data synchronization. And so I'm looking at how that stuff now is going to work on Windows Vista.
Okay.
You know, it's fairly well defined now for Windows XP and Tablet Edition, but how's that going to work on Windows Vista? And there's some new APIs that the Vista team is putting together for network location awareness, for power management,
okay,
that gives us extra stuff, extra cool goodies that we can play with as application developers.
Now, we're probably not allowed to talk about that until the PDC, right?
So, we can say that it's there.
Just to show it.
Yeah.
So you're not running Vista on your tablet?
No, I'm not running Vista on here. This is Tablet Edition 2005, yep, and just standard, you know, as it comes out of the box. And actually, you know, the stuff I'm talking about is really not purely just tablet. It's anything that's mobile. And the interesting thing is that more and more applications need to run on mobile PCs, right? Because everyone has a laptop. Or a lot of people have laptops. And looking at the sales, it's looking like we're getting close to that kind of, you know, call it the tipping point of more people buying mobile devices, laptops, notebooks,
tablets.
Actually,
we already passed it.
Are we already past it?
More laptops, I don't want to say just for sure, but I believe the more laptops were sold in the last quarter than desktop machines.
Probably in the USA.
Yeah.
If you look at USA numbers, that's probably right. If you look at developing countries, they tend to buy still, because price is still an issue, they're still very price sensitive, so they'll tend to buy cheaper desktop machines.
It's more
economically viable. Globally, we're not at the 50% yet, I don't think.
Yeah.
Maybe in the USA, you're at the 50% now. So, every application you build that runs on Windows, you need to consider how's that going to run on a device that's going to potentially not always be connected and have battery. And, you know, we still are not making huge advances in battery power, and software can make a lot of difference. You can make a huge difference to drain on battery by writing your software.
So what are some of your tricks?
So some of the tricks are, first of all, find out whether you're running on battery or not. You know, that's the first thing that applications need to do. Check that they're running. If they are running on battery, then start thinking about what functionality you can scale back. Okay. Say you've got a spell checker. Do you need that spell checker continuously going as a background thread when you're running on battery? Maybe you don't. Do you need, don't download updates when you're running on battery.
Yep.
Only download updates when you've got an AC power supply. You know, it's actually fairly common sense stuff. You want to scale back functionality. If you've got intensive graphics, that's going to hit your battery life. So scale that back. If you don't need the 3D rotating menus and translucence and layers in your application, if that's not business critical, scale it back. Stop doing it. Only do it when you've got an AC power supply.
Now, were you going to show me something on your tablet today, or?
Not particularly. I just brought it along so that I knew where I was supposed to be going. It has all my information on it. You know, it's like this is my notebook now. You know, this has got every. You know, I can. You know, what room was Scoble in, and I wrote it down and I came over here. So, you know, this is where I keep all of my notes. I used to keep lots of journals. I used to write everything down in journals. You know, when I was hacking away trying to find out how something worked, I'd find the solution, put it in a paper notebook and put it on my shelf and then never be able to find it again.
Yeah.
And, of course, the great thing with tablet is you can store tons and tons of written notes and you can actually search through your handwritten notes. So, totally, you know, this is my life support system.
Yeah.
I actually have two. I have this one and I have the Toshiba, which is a convertible. So this is a slate, which is much more easy to walk around with.
Yeah.
And then I have the convertible one, which is, you know, great. You've got a keyboard and type away. And this I do a lot of development on. This is kind of my main development machine when I'm on the road, which is 6 months a year. So I have this for development, and this is really my... getting stuff done, notebook, email, contacts, everything. Right. Kind of big PDA, maybe, if you like, except, of course, with lots of extra application functionality.
Yeah.
You know, why? And I do have one of those toys, too. You know, I have one of these babies, which, you know, is my phone and my PDA.
Right.
And, oh, there you go. So, you know, that's running Windows Mobile. And, of course, they all sync together, and any time an appointment happens, all three of them go, bing!
Yeah.
Which is really annoying. So, come on, Windows Mobile guys, fix that, please. So, you know, there's still some way to go with the mobile story, but definitely we're getting there. I mean, it's cool to see some of it, and, you know, I'm big into mobile.
What's your favorite thing about the tablet?
Just the fact that I can just take notes straight onto it. I can search through my handwriting. I take a lot of notes. I take a lot of, as I'm doing stuff, as I'm finding stuff out, as I'm working stuff out. You know, I always want to take notes so I remember it later. And of course, I always used to take notes and just lose them. Now I've just got them all in one place and I can back them up. You know, it's great.
Now that's the first thing. Whenever I talk about the tablet on my blog or with people, they say, oh, I'm a keyboard-centric guy. I type 100 words a minute or whatever, you know.
Right.
And they say, why do you need a pen, you know?
But, you know, can you take this everywhere? You know, it's much easier to take this. Yeah. Feel the weight of that, you know. The weight of that is just a... And the thing, what I quite like about this one is that, because it's not metal, it's plastic, it never actually gets that hot.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that have got, you know, a more metallic feel to them tend to get a bit warmer. This one seems to have some good heat dispersion system going on. Not quite sure what they've done, but I love it because, you know, I can hold it all day and it never gets hot. Of course, the battery will run out first, so I put my second battery in. But and I have a whole routine on the aeroplane. When I do the long flights, 14-hour flights, I have, like, you know, these two laptops and four batteries, and I can pretty much get through a whole flight.
Yeah,
and actually,
some of the batteries, like on the new IBM,
right?
We're getting 5 hours on one.
Yeah. Some of the batteries are getting good lifetime on them now. And what I was also going to say, some of the flights have got Wi-Fi on them now as well. So,
did anybody down to Australia have Wi-Fi yet?
So Singapore to the leg that I do on a regular basis, which is Singapore to Heathrow, has Wi-Fi on, and so. You know, actually, last time I landed in London when all the chaos was going off with the bombs happening, and I was on the plane heading over, and I could look on the web and see where the transport systems were going down and work out how I was going to get somewhere once I landed in Heathrow.
Yep.
But, I mean, it's very cool. I was on Skype when I was on the plane. I was talking to people in London, getting meetings ready for when I landed there. And, you know, you land, get off the plane, you can have everything ready. It's awesome.
It's Boeing's connection service.
That's exactly what it is, yeah.
It's just awesome.
It's great, yeah. So I want all planes.
And I did get a free trip on the Boeing plane, just to disclaim that. But I was hot on it even before that. I was on SAS to Copenhagen.
Cool, yeah, right.
Yeah, man, having Wi-Fi on.
It just rocks, doesn't it? It's just totally awesome.
What's really sucky is the battery problem, because
at
that point my batteries were lasting 2 or 3 hours, so I'd only have Wi-Fi for 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah.
And the first class has power adapters in the seats.
Yeah.
But they were sold out, and they were $250 more. So
yeah, you have to think about it.
Well, I was willing to pay the $250
for the power.
Well, for the power and for being up in first class. But but they were sold out. I couldn't even buy a seat if I wanted one. And it's pretty pricey. $250 is, you know.
Yeah.
For
when you do a lot of flying, that's up pretty quick.
A 10-hour flight.
Yeah. I mean, I'm on my third trip around the world this year.
Wow.
So, I do a lot of travel. In fact, if you go to the Via Virtual Earth website and go to the gallery, you'll find a little site called Where Was Dr. Neil? And you can click on a calendar and find out where I was on a certain date.
Awesome.
Which is a question a lot of people often ask. You know, in fact, the tablet team has regular meetings where apparently what gets shouted across the table is, where in the world is Dr. Neil? They want to track me down to get me to review something.
It's Friday afternoon, and Dr. Neil is in my office. Yes. And I have proof.
I'll have to add that to the Via Virtual Earth site in Scoble's office.
Building 18.
Yeah. So the other thing I've been doing a fair bit of is the Extreme.net stuff, which the book came out at the end of last
year. Now, you wrote a book on
I wrote a book called Extreme.net, which got published
now,
in
how
December.
How do you do Extreme.net? I mean...
You got to be extreme about it.
Do you have to, like, have dinner with Anders? Or
No, that's not extreme enough.
All right.
So, it's actually all about extreme programming techniques that you can use in .NET development. So I talk about test-driven development. I talk about how to plan out and break down your tasks so you've got nice and easy bits of programming, little jobs to do that you can actually get through.
Okay.
And as much of it is technology as there is content that's actually about what goes on up here in our brains and, you know, the morale issues with developing software and how we work together as a team to develop software.
Now, I hear the book's doing pretty well, right? The
book's doing pretty good, yeah.
Why are people responding to it? Why is extreme programming needed right now?
Well, I mean...
Because I've seen even teams here are playing
with it. Are starting to play with it, which is really cool. I really, you know, there's people here starting to do agile stuff in software development, and it's great to see that in a big company like Microsoft. What is it that makes people want to jump on it? Well, if you look at what we've been doing previously, prior to agile development, it just wasn't working. That's the bottom line, is projects were shipping late, projects were over budget, and there was this, you know, way over 50% failure rate on software projects. And it's not acceptable, so people are looking for something different. People are looking for other ways to tackle it. And I think, you know, one of the obvious things is, you know, you can jump on another, find another silver bullet to, you know, to take you to another failed solution. Or you can start thinking about the whole ecosystem. Yeah. It's not just about technology, it's about the people as well. And what Agile does is embrace the concept of, you know, people over process.
What is that?
Agile is, I guess really Agile is...
In 2 minutes or less.
Yeah, Agile in 2 minutes or less is... So Agile, there was a bunch of guys that were doing different kinds of... Yeah, sure.
Oh.
You want to...
It'll just go into voicemail.
A bunch of people doing different kinds of software development that, you know, such as extreme programming, crystal methods, the pragmatic programmers, Scrum... And they got together around a table and said, you know, what is it that we're doing differently? What is it that makes what we do different from, you know, maybe the traditional model of software development? And so they came out with a manifesto of initially really 4 points that they said, this is what differentiates us. This is our value system.
Yeah.
And top of that list is, you know, they value people. More than process. It doesn't mean that the process is not important, but the people doing the development in the development cycle, and that's not just developers, but project managers, customers, everyone that's involved in getting a project completed, those people are more important to getting the project completed than the process.
Right.
And, you know, they have other things, such as working product is more important than documentation.
Yep.
Doesn't mean documentation is not important, but hey, you know, having a working product is more important.
Yep.
You know, and it's that, you know, if you go to a car dealer and they say, oh, well, we'll ship you the car in 2 months when it's ready, but here's the manual, you wouldn't be very happy, right?
Yep.
Whereas if you go to the car dealer and go and they say, oh, yeah, here's the keys to your car, it's your new car, Mr. Scoble, we'll ship you the manual when it's ready, you'd be like, oh, yeah, whatever. You know, I'll take the car, thanks, don't bother with the manual.
Yep.
You know, and that's where we're at, you know, it's kind of... Let's think about what's really important to getting stuff done.
Yeah.
And so the whole Agile movement has been driving some
now, what's
of these.
The difference between Agile and Extreme and
Scrum?
I'm hearing all these terms on blogs. And
extreme programming...
Sorry for the camera movement.
Yeah,
I don't have a tripod today, so I'm like, handling.
So extreme programming and Scrum and Crystal and you know, some of the other... Yeah, some of the other so-called methodologies or practices, processes, are often considered to be subsets or, you know, within the Agile domain. I actually hate the word methodology because I think methodology to a lot of people says, this is how you must do this, this is your set of rules. And to me, what a lot of it is about is actually picking the things that work well for your team. So putting the people first and saying, what for these people is going to get the product done? Not, this is your silver bullet solution, you must follow these rules, and the people will follow the rules. But considering the kind of people you've got, what's going to work well? Because that's what you've got to look at. So XP, extreme programming, Scrum, they're different forms of agile development, with different rules. And what I tend to find is a lot of teams mix and merge them. So they'll say they'll take a few ideas from Scrum, they'll take a few ideas from XP, they'll look at, you know, some of the stuff Andy Hunt's been doing with pragmatic programming, and they'll take a few ideas from that. And they'll mix it up, and they'll go, oh, this works for us, but this bit doesn't, so we won't use it. And you know, agile teams are proving that they're shipping software in much shorter iterations. You know, they have this concept of delivery within, you know, delivery of product every month, within a month, sometimes in 2 weeks, sometimes as short as a weekly cycle of delivering very high quality solutions.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing, is they're putting quality on top of the list. You know, like, it used to be the case that we would look at features first.
Yeah.
And it's like, we've got to get these features done, we'll fix them later. Whereas now the agile guys are saying, no, let's stop a minute and focus on getting whatever we do to very high quality.
Yeah.
And when we get it to very high quality, then we can ship it. And if you keep the quality very high, you'll get a much better product. Like, duh. You know, it's not rocket science to work that out. And it's also more fun to work with.
Yep.
High quality product is better for the development team, better for the customers, better for the project managers.
Absolutely.
So
better for the support guys, the marketing guys.
And well, if you do it really right, there is no support guys, right?
Yeah.
The support guys just answer the customer questions of how does the product work, rather than, oh shit, this is broken. Yeah. So, you know, getting the high quality, and I've seen some amazing cases. You know, I've worked with companies now that are delivering software and have zero, one, very few bug counts.
Yeah.
And when they do get a bug reported, they're able to fix that very quickly. They're able to deliver a solution, you know, within a few days that fixes the bug to the customer, which, you know, customers like that, and
yep,
they're prepared to pay for that. In fact, you know, they'd prefer to pay for that than the competition that's not doing that. So,
exactly.
I'm seeing software companies, ISVs, produce software, deliver stuff to the marketplace, and really start to annihilate some of their competition and take the cake away.
Yep.
Which is, I mean, it's fantastic stuff. It's
I'm
what we want to see, right? It's better
I'm
software.
I'm thinking of 37 Signals, you know,
right,
which is a small little company and three or five guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they're out marketing companies many times their size,
right,
including us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
so
it doesn't take
just by building a better product. You know?
And this is what the other thing we're starting to see is that it's not a case of throwing a lot of people at stuff.
Yeah.
It's a case of being smart. It's a case of working smarter, not harder.
Yeah, it's true.
And the little guys, the small guys can be, get out there and do stuff a whole lot quicker. I mean, if you look at, go back and look at the Virtual Earth stuff that we're doing,
yep,
you know, those guys have got stuff out quick, but then the people that are building stuff on top of Virtual Earth, my site's only been out for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Virtual Earth has only launched 2 weeks ago, and yet, right now, there's a whole gallery of pages on my site of people that have hacked and built sites and built product.
Oh, yeah.
That sits on top of it.
Yeah.
Now, none of it is commercial because there's no commercial license right now, but,
no,
you know, it's only a beta product. But once that happens, these guys are ready, and it doesn't take long.
No.
So, yeah.
2 weeks, it seems like a year ago already.
Right. Things happen fast.
The market is just moving so fast right now with new stuff.
It's great, isn't it?
2 weeks just seems like a year.
I know.
It's, like,
it's
wow,
fantastic. I mean, it's actually, I'm loving it because it's
they've
like
had a million visitors. I'm not sure if the specs are public or the stats are public, but they had 100,000 or something downloads of the locator.
Of the locator,
and,
yeah. Well, I had 100,000
visitors
to Via Virtual Earth. So,
100,000.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. It's
and
just,
without doing any advertising, just
no,
putting a new product out there,
right,
and the word of mouth networks just pass it along.
Yeah, someone blogged it, I think, and
yeah.
I can't imagine
somebody,
who that would have been.
Somebody. That was on Channel 9 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, people find the link, and actually,
that's crazy, yeah.
I did a search last night for all the different blogs that are linking through to Via Virtual Earth, and there's this huge list. I mean, just people are linking through to it, and you know, so people are finding it and starting to do stuff with it. It's great.
Yep.
But yeah, and the escalation,
and we're just at the beginning,
right?
Right.
Yeah. The escalation of speed is just getting bigger and bigger, I think. It's awesome to see that. Yeah, it feels in some way as though we're onto another wave of internet craziness.
Yep.
It'll be cool if that happens.
Yeah.
I don't want to
Did
make
you
any
have anything
predictions.
Else you want to show me?
No, not really.
Okay. Cool. And anything else? So what are you doing? The tablet team, you're over there. Where are we going to see your work? from what you're doing with the tablet team?
You'll see some stuff at PDC, I hope.
Okay.
And
but you're doing the hands-on labs.
I'm building hands-on labs for PDC.
Are you going to be? So are you going to be at the PDC?
I'll be at PDC.
Are you giving that? Are you leading the hands-on labs?
So they're actually self-paced. Huh? So you can sit down at a machine. We're going to have the tablet team is going to have a whole bunch of tablets in the hands-on labs area.
Okay.
And you'll be able to sit down at a machine and pick a lab that you want to do. There's going to be 8 different labs. Pick a lab that you want to do and go through, walk your way through it and look at the code, work out how it works, connect different bits of it together.
Wow.
Go and build a fully enabled tablet Vista application. That's the plan.
Awesome.
So yeah, it should be pretty good. I will be at PDC hanging out and going to some sessions.
Will you autograph my tablet?
Absolutely I will.
Right.
In ink.
Excellent. I'll bring my
digital
tablet.
Ink.
Maybe you can get come and pick up one of your Channel 9 guys and get that on.
Yeah, cool.
Well, thanks. Thanks for coming over and seeing me, and let's go have some beer, right?
Yeah,
sure.
There's
a beer bash out here.
Okay, cool.
It's Friday afternoon.
Yeah, yeah, well, I hear no work gets done around here on Fridays.
No. Except for Channel 9.
Channel 9, of course.
Thanks.
Hey, thanks.